Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody this morning. It's good to be together as part of worship today. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is here today. And the way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests, take that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose. Send it down so everybody has the chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask that last person, when you are done, send it back to where it got started. And we do ask the first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today. And our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. I've been doing that announcement for 12 years the exact same way. I need to work on that. Yeah, it makes it faster. Few announcements we'll do. We are inviting the kids to come down for children's time. Want them to come talk to me for just a moment. One thing about this afternoon's schedule, all activities for this afternoon have been canceled. That includes Belize team stuff. We're going to put all that to next Sunday, so make note of that. Mary.
If in the last couple of weeks of stewardship emphasis that we have had, you have perhaps in the back of your mind, some of you have said, you know, I got some things I need to get straight money-wise in my life. If God has convicted you that maybe you need to kind of get some of that under control, April 10th, we will start an 8-week study. It is Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. It's a good one. Those of you that have taken it before. No, I've already heard some testimonies this morning from some folks who have been through it and who are excited that we are going to do it. It will be on Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. There is a charge associated with that, but if you will be patient, we'll let you know what that is. There'll be some partial scholarships, I think, available for that. If you'd like to contribute towards some scholarships, we would love that as well. If you are interested, if you would contact me or Joseph Alexander, we will get you registered and kind of give you a little bit more of the details you need to know. But it'll be April 10th through around about Memorial Day weekend.
Okay. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. Thank you for giving your information on the pew pad a moment ago. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. They would like to give something to you. So if you would just raise your hand, if you're a guest, just right where you are. Our ushers will find you. They're going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship today. Okay, I know I'm not the only one that woke up and had forgotten to do their clock. Anybody else? Luckily, it was 6:45 when that happened, and which it meant 7:45. But man, that snuck up on me. Oh, I'm glad I was the only one. Sometimes things sneak up on us and come out of nowhere. But we serve a God who's not surprised by anything and prepares us and walks through those surprises with us. Today, we celebrate a God who never changes and is never surprised, but is always faithful, always loving, and always by our side. Let's pray together. Father, this is your world. Thank you for the privilege of living in it so that we can see the beauty of your creation in the person to our left or to our right, in the skies, in the mountains, in the laughter of people. Thank you for your world, and thank you that you have overcome all that would keep us from a relationship with you. We thank you for Jesus and the opportunity to worship. We ask that your Spirit would come in this place, hear us and see us as we worship. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, good to see everybody this morning. We're going to play a little game of I Spy, but you have to be very frozen still, crisscross applesauce, okay? But we can play this game without moving, right? I Spy, one of the most important things to me in this room, and it's the color of gold. Freeze, crisscross. Anybody? Clue. It's not that. Those are important. It's gold. It's in this room. And I'm pointing at it. This ring right here is one of the most important things to me. I did get married. Can you believe it? Somebody married me. This, everybody's looking at this. This is one of the most important things in my life because the young lady that I married, Miss Jennifer, gave me this ring when we got married. And I wear it all the time because it's very important to me. There's a story this morning that Pastor Raymond is going to talk about where a lady in the Bible, she took perfume that was so, it smelled so good and it was so expensive. It took a person an entire year to earn the money to buy this perfume. Kind of like this ring took me almost a year to save up to buy rings for Miss Jennifer. This lady, she bought this perfume and she loved Jesus so much that she poured it on him and cleaned his feet to show him how much she loved him. She took something that was so very valuable to her and gave it to Jesus. You and I, we need to always remember to give Jesus our very, very best. Everything we have, we don't give him just a little bit of us. We give him the very best of us. Our best attitudes, our best smiles, how we love each other, we do it the very, very best. How we treat each other at school, how we treat our moms and our dads, we do the very, very best because that's what Jesus wants us to do. Can you do that for me this week? Give your very, very best. Nice. Let's pray, okay? God, thank you that you gave us your very best in Jesus. And you want us to give our best back. Thank you for how much you love us and want us to show that love everywhere we go. In Jesus' name we pray.
To my side.
better times, I contemplate grace. It's a nice concept, grace. Forgiveness, mercy, I'm all about those. It's nice to know that God loves me so much. I am pretty lovable most of the time. I mean, I try most of the time. I'm glad God sees that. He really gets me. There are times I extend grace. After all, I am the bigger person. I don't judge. God does that. He knows who's right. Good thing I'm so forgiven. It is all about grace, and I am so full of grace. I'm glad God sees that. He really gets me. There are times I encounter grace. Heart-rending, soul-shattering, aching grace. I'm broken, damaged, irreparable, except for grace. I'm helpless. I'm hopeless. I'm empty, except for grace. I'm overwhelmed. I am amazed God saw that. And He's got me. As we come to the fifth Sunday of Lent, we come as a people in need of God's grace. We've all walked into this place today carrying our own sinfulness and our own cares and concerns. And to be quite honest, today, our collective cares and concerns. And today we need grace. And so this morning, I give you just a moment to offer yourselves up, to confess your sinfulness, to confess your brokenness, and to allow God to come and to offer His grace. Lord, we come this morning, a people in need of Your grace. Lord, we come with nothing to offer but the sinful messes that we are. And yet, Lord, we know that You take sinful, broken messes and turn them into useful vessels for Your glory. And so, Lord, we ask that You do that this morning. Lord, come and fill our hearts. Lord, give us all that we need today and in coming days to serve You fully, to be useful for You. Lord, we thank You for Your forgiveness and Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, help us to never take it for granted. In Jesus' name, amen. John 3:17 says that God sent His Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him would be saved. Praise God for His forgiveness.
From what I might. Good morning. It's always good to hear from them. Today I have a quick message for you about faith and leadership. For our Lord, our Lord's guidance Being thankful for our Lord's guidance is an understatement. Every day the Lord shows us the path, not always the easy one, but the one that He wants us to follow. When the path gets rough, He provides us with guides, leaders to help us with our journey. Over the past week, all of our leaders have shown a faith and a guidance that has been so strong and powerful, it truly has shown the hand of God at work. For our leaders, Jeff, Mary, Krista, and Raymond, we are thankful and grateful. Please pray with me. Lord, thank you. Thank you for all that you've given us. Thank you for giving us your Son, your salvation, and your promise of everlasting life. We thank you for the powerful leadership you have chosen to be your messengers. It is no accident that you have put them here for us. Please be with each of them as they look for you for support and fill them with your holy boldness, courage, and mountain-moving faith. We love you, Lord. We thank you every day for what you've given us and the people you have put in place in our lives to show us your way. In your name we pray.
Many of you are thinking, boy, I wish I could have that hour of sleep. You missed an hour of sleep last night. But it's about perspective. You see, I got an extra 2 hours of sleep last night. And you say, how so? There's a back... Thank you. Thank you, Terry. Terry asked, how so? Last night, we loaded up the truck and went over to the hotel to visit with Mom and Dad and Uncle Rob and Aunt Donna and Lenora and Paul. And when we got back to the house, Cooper, the grand dog, was sitting in the middle of the den. And he had this really big smile on his face. That's usually not a good sign. And there was an empty bag beside him that said conversation hearts. You know what I'm talking about? That pure sugar. Yeah, the little hearts that say, miss you, be mine, you know, I'm yours, you know, all those type of things. Well, this was a bag that we know was almost full. And it was the big conversation hearts. And it was empty. And we found five. That's all. I don't know how many were in there originally, but many more than five. And he was very pleased with himself. Was he talking to me? Yeah. Yeah. And we made the comment, we're in for a long night. And so it was really no surprise to me that at 4 o'clock this morning, 3 o'clock old time, 4 o'clock clock time, I heard him up and about. And he needed to go out, and we probably really needed him to go out. And so I took him out, and I came back in, and I looked at the clock, got him settled in. I looked at the clock, it said 4:15. And I said to myself, self, you've got 2 more hours to sleep before you have to get up. What a blessing. And I laid down and went to sleep. You see, it's about perspective. Perspective is very important. If you had to choose how to bless someone that you knew was going to die soon, how would you do it? What would you say? What would you do? That is one of the questions for today, and perspective is critically important. Given the events of the last week in our family, it is a question that all of us should at least consider. What would you do to bless someone that you knew may be dying soon? What would you do to bless someone, even if you didn't know that they may be dying soon? For us and our family, it's been about resolving potential areas of conflict as soon as possible, or as soon as Dad's able to talk about it. You know, then you affirm the best in each other. You finish it off with a hug. But if location does not permit that, always an exchange of I love you. Friday night was no different a week ago. I gave my son a hug and I said, I love you, buddy. He said, I love you too, Dad. That's the last words we ever exchanged here on earth. But perspective is critically important. The story in today's gospel lesson, God does have a sense of humor as well as a sense of perspective. It is the lectionary reading, the gospel reading. It comes from John chapter 12. And it's an example of how to honor someone special. Not just by what you say, although that is important, but also by our actions. It's one of those stories that was told over and over and over and over again in the first century. We know it was told over and over and over again because it is one of the very few stories that appears in all four Gospels. If you have a parallel Bible, open it up sometime and read the commonality stories. Sometimes the miracles are kind of a commonality, but there's very few things that are common to all four Gospels. It's very rare. And yet, here is this story. And this story, even though it's told a little differently, is basically the same in all four Gospels. There's a woman, a certain woman, who pours out this costly perfume on Jesus' feet after she washes his feet with her tears and dries the feet with her hair. In the Synoptic Gospels, which we know are Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the woman is not named, but it's implied that she might be a woman of ill reputation, if you will, or ill repute, who was grateful for Jesus' acceptance and his compassion and his unconditional love for her. In our account this morning in John's Gospel, the woman is well known to us. She's named. She is Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. You know, this takes place only a short time after Jesus had raised her brother Lazarus from the dead. And Mary just can't stop thanking him enough. Or can't think of anything too good to honor him enough. We remember Mary, the emotional one who's sobbing, we think, are part of what caused Jesus to weep himself over Lazarus. Mary, the one who sat at Jesus' feet and listened, took it all in. Mary was the sensitive one, the one who wanted to do something special for Jesus. Let's read about it. Join with me. John chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. It reads like this. It says, 6 days before the Passover, so we're getting close. We're getting close on our Lenten journey. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Mary's actions here are scandalous. In that culture, what she did was scandalous. It had to make those who were gathered there uncomfortable for at least four reasons. In the first place, Mary went against all the proper behavior of that culture by making herself, by her actions, the center of attention in the presence of men. You just weren't supposed to do that. Secondly, she touched a man in public. Women were not supposed to do that. Thirdly, she dried Jesus' feet with her hair. Think about that. How does a lady dry someone's feet with her hair? She had to let it down. Big no-no. Unless you were a dishonorable woman, you didn't let your hair down in public. And then fourth, of course, there was the gift itself. This extravagant gift of perfume. We know it cost about 300 denarii, which was a wage for an honest day's work for the average worker. One denarii for 1 day. And as Jeff told the children, this year of wages spent on this one thing, this perfume. A year's wages for an average worker, and yet she probably was supposed to use all of that to bury her whole family. And yet she blows it all on Jesus, or so it would appear to the people there. But even though she made other people feel uncomfortable, Mary always seemed to have a knack for doing the right thing at the right time. She always had a knack for that. Evidently, Mary, I don't know how the rest of them missed it, or maybe they just didn't really grasp the significance of it. But evidently, Mary is the only one who really caught the significance of Jesus' words when he said that he was going to Jerusalem to suffer and die. Maybe the rest of them just missed that. I don't know. But it's Mary who recognizes what's going to happen, and it's a short period away. And she's preparing Jesus' body for burial, literally. She's preparing him for burial. Maybe she thought in her own mind, here's this intimate setting. This is going to be my last chance to show Jesus just how much I care for him. She perhaps anticipated that as they approached Jerusalem, the pace would become more and more hectic, that people would be around him more and more and more. She had seen the crowds that followed him. She saw what kind of crowd he attracted. So this, and maybe in her mind, was her last chance to show him, not just tell him, show him how much she cared for him. So she prepared his body for burial. And Jesus confirms this by telling others, leave her alone. Leave her alone. Because, quote, she bought it so that she could keep it for the day of my burial. It's also quite possible that by anointing Jesus' feet, Mary is foreshadowing what will happen just prior to Jesus' death when he washes the feet of his followers. We'll remember that as we gather for services on Maundy Thursday. An act of service, an act of compassion, an act of love. Well, unfortunately, I wish we could kind of leave the story there. But there's always a spoil sport in the stories, right? And we got a villain. We've got a spoil sport in this story too. Our boy Judas. He jumps in and he starts criticizing Mary for her extravagant demonstration of love by saying, why was this perfume not sold and the money given to the poor? Right, Judas. I'm glad John just told it like it was. We don't have to wonder what his motivation was, because even this phrase, those verses were not included, we'd kind of be suspect of that comment. But John just takes it on down for us. He said he's a thief. He didn't care about the poor. He was a thief. He just wanted the money for himself. He just wanted, as the keeper of the purse, he just wanted money out of the purse. But Jesus rebuked Judas by telling him, there's going to be plenty of opportunities to take care of the poor, if indeed that's your objection. They said, but you're only going to have Jesus with you for a short time. Take advantage of it. Now, you and I, we don't get the opportunity that Mary had. Or so we may think. We don't have the opportunity to literally wash Jesus' feet with our tears and to dry them with our hair, or to dump costly perfume on his feet. But what we do have is the opportunity to do what Jesus told us to do when he said, inasmuch as you do it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me. So we say, well, I don't have that opportunity. And Jesus said, yes, you do. Yes, you do. When you do it for someone else, you do it for me. So we love the Lord extravagantly when we love other people extravagantly. That's what he said. Jesus said that those who are forgiven much love much. And when we recognize how much we've been forgiven, that love flows over the top and it spills out onto other people around us. It just works. That's the Holy Spirit. It just works like that. But it also appears that the opposite may be true. In other words, if we find ourselves not loving others extravagantly, could it mean that maybe we don't think that we've been forgiven all that much? Maybe we look at our lives and we see that, well, you know, I don't really have any glaring errors. I'm a pretty good guy. I'm better than average. And maybe we think it's kind of like going back to school, where the teacher's grade on a curve, you know? And the guy beside me, he did worse than I did. So I'm in pretty good shape. And we think, you know, because they're grading on a curve, it's all good. But the Lord doesn't grade on a curve. He grades on the cross. And we all have to throw ourselves ultimately at the foot of the cross and beg for grace. The season of Lent is a time for reflection. It's an opportunity for us to take spiritual stock of where we are in our relationship with Christ. It's an incredibly important time of year, time in our life. It should take place every day, granted. It is a season that invites us to strip away all the extraneous things in our lives and make sure that the things that we're doing really have eternal significance. We can't get away from that phrase, can we? We've been there for weeks and weeks. What we do, does it matter for eternity? Does it have eternal significance? If not, why are we wasting our time, talents, treasure on doing it? Mary is a good example for us. She really is. She sat at Jesus' feet and listened instead of being obsessed with stuff to do. Not that service is a bad thing to do. It's just there are times that are appropriate. Mary wept at Jesus' feet and she dried them and then she anointed his feet, his body, for the most important death in history. She made her days count. She did what would last for eternity. So my prayer for us as believers, as the church, is that we, like Mary, would live our lives in such a spirit of gratitude for what Jesus has done for us that we inspire others to come close to him, to be with him, to let him pour his love and his compassion on all of us. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, as we kneel at your feet and as we ask your forgiveness for letting our time be absorbed with things that do not matter for eternity, as we kneel at your feet and we ask forgiveness for an unkind word or thought we may have had this week, as we ask your forgiveness for words that were offered that did not edify you, even as we do all of that, we know that your grace is overwhelming, that your grace is more than sufficient for our need. Father, help us in the days and weeks to come to remember what it means to serve you. And Father, part of that is serving our neighbor. Part of that is loving our neighbor as ourself. And the other part is loving you with all that we have and all that we are. We ask for your help as we seek to serve you more completely. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you do not have that relationship with Christ that gives meaning to life, we invite you this morning as we stand and sing in just a moment. We're going to stand and sing hymn number 61, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. I invite you as we sing, I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to speak with you about your relationship with Christ. If you are a believer already and maybe you've just been kind of absorbed in things that are not of eternal consequence, this is a good day for all of us to refocus, to be used by God in a way that maybe we haven't been available to prior to today. You can certainly, as you sing where you are, make that commitment to Christ. The altar will be open if you want to come here and pray. I'll be here if you'd like to speak with me about it. That's fine. If you're here and you'd like to become a member of this church, it is a wonderful body of believers. It's a wonderful body of believers. Well, there's many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about it. Let's stand and sing as you make your decisions.
Benediction, the core response.